The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hi, this is Chris Skidmore from the North Carolina Reading Service, formerly known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service, and this is Tech Tips. February may be the shortest month in the year, but there's still a lot to cover. Coming up, a review of apps to help you be better organized, a tactile display to aid in 3D design, the new Google Interpreter Mode, and Guide Dog 2.0. That's what's coming up on this month's episode of Tech Tips. Let's talk getting organized. Here's an article from Access World Magazine entitled Putting Your Life and Work in Order, a review of three free task management apps. And it's written by JJ Madow. Paying bills. Organizing the house, emailing that resume, completing that term paper. The mountain of things that need to be done for work, school, or play can be overwhelming. In the days before computers, you might have used a pen and paper, a braille writer, or sticky notes to keep track of things that needed to be done. And while those are still all perfectly valid ways of organizing the things that you need to do in your life, modern technology and smartphones have opened up a plethora of new options for managing your tasks and responsibilities. At its core, a task management app lets you create and manage a list of things that need to be done. You can add, edit, delete, and mark as completed the tasks on the list. It sounds simple, but moving from sticky notes to an app can really help to boost your productivity. There are literally hundreds of these apps, and they come in all shapes and sizes, from simple programs that only let you add and delete notes to complex, feature-loaded systems that offer a lot of features and power but may be harder to learn. This article reviews three popular apps that satisfy all three key criteria. They need to work on computers and mobile devices, be available for free, and, of course, have a good amount of support for access technology. The Microsoft To-Do, Google Tasks, and Trello are each available for iOS and Android devices and also can be accessed via web interface. Microsoft To-Do is the successor to the popular task manager called Wunderlist, an app they purchased in 2015. In September, the app was refreshed and the latest versions now include well-thought-out accessibility support. In addition to mobile, To-Do is also available from the Microsoft Store as a free Windows 10 app, as well as on the Mac. You'll need a free Microsoft account, which you may have already set up when installing Windows. If you use Skype, Outlook, or Office 365, then you can use the same account information for this app. To-Do groups your tasks into lists, including a few smart lists, which are automatically generated. Start by using the New List button to create a new list, such as Bills to Pay. Then you can add an item simply by selecting the New Task button and typing in your entry. If you are using the Windows 10 app, you can press Ctrl plus N to create a new task. Keyboard shortcuts are available for other commonly used commands. Several features allow you to do more with the tasks you have added. You can set due date for a task either by choosing a preset, such as tomorrow or next week, or by selecting date from a calendar. You can mark a task as important, which will place the task in your important tasks smart list. If you have a file that should be associated with a task, such as an article you need to edit, you can attach it to the task. Some chores require a bit more than one line of text to convey. You may want to break up a complex task into multiple steps. For instance, if you have a task called clean the house, you may want to include notes about doing the dishes, cleaning the bathroom, or organizing the closets. To-Do lets you add steps to tasks so you can track a larger project. You can mark each step as completed at the appropriate time and gain a quick view of your progress and what still needs to be done. You can also share a list with a family member or coworker. using the house cleaning chore above. Imagine several family members who are at home at various times. If everyone had access to the list, then they could mark their part of the task as complete when they have finished. You can also assign tasks to specific people, though it is not possible to assign a specific step from a task to a person. To-do also integrates seamlessly with some of Microsoft's other apps. You can view your tasks from Microsoft Outlook, ask for information from the Cortana Assistant, or pin tasks to your Start menu using live tiles. Users with low vision may appreciate the support of dark mode, a contrast feature that many say is easier on the eyes. And I'm happy to say that To-Do is one of the most accessible Microsoft Store apps for Windows 10, proving that creating accessible apps for Windows 10 is now entirely possible. The iOS app makes extensive use of VoiceOver's Custom Actions feature, which allows you to swipe down with one finger on a task and quickly mark it as completed or perform other actions. The Android app is well labeled and easy to use as well, though I wish that support for TalkBack's custom actions was included. To be honest, I had forgotten about the existence of Google Tasks until it came up in a recent app search. Google's task management apps have gone through several iterations, but it seems that they are now putting some effort into creating a very simple and convenient task management system. Google Tasks is the simplest of the three apps reviewed here, but that can work to your benefit. You can access Google Tasks through dedicated mobile apps for Android and iOS, or through tabs on the Google Calendar and modern Gmail web interfaces. This tight integration may make tasks appealing for some. To start tasks, download one of the mobile apps or go to Google Calendar on the web and log in with your Google account. If you have ever used Gmail or other Google services, then you already have one of these accounts. Google will put all of your tasks into a single list by default, though you can create new lists if you would like. Each task includes a title and an optional description and can also include a date. You can create subtasks under a task to split up larger projects, similar to the Steps feature in Microsoft's To-Do. Google Tasks currently does not offer sharing or file attachment features. Google's aim appears to be a no-frills app that just works and meets most basic needs. Where Google Tasks excels is in its integration with other Google products, especially Gmail. If you are reading an email message, you can select an option to create a task directly from the email. This will create the task with a link to the original message. Tasks also integrates tightly with Google Calendar, making it simple to sync tasks with deadlines to your calendar simply by adding a date to the task. Tasks supports accessibility features on smartphones and the web. If you are looking for a clutter-free experience, the mobile apps will put your tasks front and center. Since tasks on the web are part of Calendar and Gmail, some might find this a bit more confusing to navigate. Still, Google has included a variety of keyboard shortcuts in its web apps, making them easier to use. Trello is a much more advanced task management system than the others listed above, but we included it largely because it is one of the most popular task management systems used by businesses. While it is typically used by teams to manage products, personal users may benefit as well. Trello's learning curve comes from its flexibility, though in reality, it offers many of the same features as other task apps. You can get started by creating a free account on their website. Trello organizes tasks into what they call boards. If you are just starting out, you can use one board for all of your tasks. Each board can include any number of lists. Each individual task in Trello is called a card and can be added to one of your lists. Each card includes a title as well as a description filled with plenty of room to write as many details as needed. You can add a due date to a card so you know when the task needs to be completed. Trello is designed for collaboration, allowing you to assign cards to other members of your team for tasks they need to complete. Each card comes with a comments area where you can talk to others, tag team members, or ask questions. Trello also integrates with other apps such as Google Calendar, Slack, or Dropbox with what they call power-ups. For instance, you can have all of your tasks posted to a Slack channel so others can stay up to date or follow comments, or integrate files from a Google Drive into your task. The free Trello app allows for one power-up, while paid plans unlock more. Trello works best on its mobile apps, though the screen can sometimes become a bit busy with lots of lists and cards being displayed. Elements are labeled, and once you get the hang of it, it is easy to track and manage tasks. The web interface, while not perfect, allows for management of most items. A few small things, such as marking checklist items as completed, do not appear to work well on the website version. In conclusion, whether you're just looking for a simple way to keep track of the grocery list or a complex solution to manage a team of employees, one of these task management systems may be just what the doctor ordered. Using a task manager can boost productivity and make life easier to manage whether you're in school, working full-time, or controlling chaos around the house. You're listening to Tech Tips on the North Carolina Reading Service. Have you ever thought about getting into 3D modeling? Well, guess what? You can soon, thanks to Stanford. This article is entitled, Stanford Increasing Access to 3D Modeling Through Touch-Based Display. It's written by Taylor Kubota of Stanford News. Stanford researchers design a tactile display that aims to make 3D printing and computer-aided design accessible to people who are blind and print impaired. Stanford University researchers have collaborated with members of the blind and visually impaired community to develop a touch-based display that mimics the geometry of 3D objects designed on a computer. Here's what the researchers and students involved in the project had to say.
We focused on how we might make 3D modeling and 3D printing more accessible. Currently, one way in which blind people are able to create 3D models is programming, but there is no way of getting feedback. So they rely on sighted mediators, or they can 3D print it, but then it takes hours to get any kind of feedback. So here we were looking at, can we use tactile arrays to get dynamic feedback and allow a blind person to create, design independently, and iterate quickly? We use a 2.5D shape display. It's an array of pins that are actuated, so they move up and down. It's like a pin art toy. Basically, the pins are raised, and they can render a shape, a relief, at interactive rate within a second.
A lot of other 2D tactile displays have pins that move up and down and have maybe two stays. We have pins that can displace very large distances. And what that allows us to do is create an array where we can create a 3D shape that people can actually feel and touch directly with their hands to get information about geometry directly through their haptic perception.
So here we're trying to represent complex spatial information, 3D information, and we're very used to seeing it visually. We weren't sure, like, can people understand the information just from tactile feedback? There's a lot of limitations with a shape display. Can they still use this in a meaningful way to understand and create?
What really is so awesome is I can view various perspectives of the object, and not just the object in its single state. For example, you can see the bottom of a cup and the top of a cup. So the top would be hollow, the bottom would be pretty solid. And or you can rotate the object so you have various perspectives that you can tactily view. And that offers greater dimension to understanding the object that you're attempting to make. And that's the same opportunity that a sighted peer would have.
To me, I think the most exciting parts are really hearing and working with this community and hearing the things that they're excited about making.
When an individual successfully completes a project with minimum to no sighted assistance, that great feeling of freedom is one that a person with a visual impairment takes pride and confidence in.
So much of the information that we use in STEM is 3D and spatial, and we really have a huge challenge in terms of making the tools that we use accessible. And I think this work really points towards a future where all of this information is accessible to everyone.
Creating a 3D object with computer software is often the first step in producing it physically and can be burdensome for people who are blind or visually impaired. Even with 3D modeling software that has more accessible ways of inputting designs, they still have to evaluate their work by either creating a physical version they can touch or by listening to a description provided by a sighted person. This work is part of a larger effort within the lab of Sean Fulmer, assistant professor of mechanical engineering, to develop tactile displays. Displays that relay information through touch for various purposes such as human-computer interaction and new ways of sharing or explaining 3D information. Siu presented the current work on October 29th at the International ACM SUG Access Conference on Computers and Accessibility, or ASSETS, conference. Although the display she presented is a prototype, the lab hopes to make a version that is less expensive, larger, and able to create shapes in greater detail. Joshua Mael, co-author on the paper, is a blind scientist, designer, and educator who helped develop the system while he was Associate Director of Technology Research and Development at the Smith-Kitwell Rehabilitation Engineering Research Center. It opens up the possibility of blind people being not just consumers of the benefits of fabrication technology, but agents in it, creating our own tools from 3D modeling environments that we would want to need and having some hope of doing it in a timely manner, he said. The display is reminiscent of a pen art toy that forms shapes from a field of tall, rectangular pegs that move up and down. By inputting the specifications of their desired shape in the accompanying 3D modeling program, users can evaluate their creation via the touchable display. Whenever they alter the shape, they can command the display to render it anew. This tactile display is considered a 2.5D rather than 3D because the bottom of the display doesn't change shape. The researchers co-designed the system with people who are blind or visually impaired, a process that was integral to making it address the actual needs of its users. In the end, the team produced a system that can rotate a 3D model, zoom in and zoom out on an object, and show it in split sections, such as showing the top and bottom of a cup side by side. Users can also feel the shape with multiple fingers or their whole hand, which enhances the information they can interpret from the display. What really is so awesome is that I can view various perspectives of the object and not just the object in its single state, said Sun Kemp, an assistive technology specialist for the Vista Center for the Blind in Palo Alto and co-author of the paper. That offers greater dimension to understanding the object that you're attempting to make, and that is the same opportunity that a sighted peer would have where they too would be able to view various perspectives of their target object. The team had five people who were blind or visually impaired test the platform and the system. Researchers received very positive feedback, including requests from the users to keep the models they created during testing. Personally, I believe that access to tools and access to making is something that's incredibly important and incredibly powerful, said Fulmer, who is senior author of the paper. So to hear about the types of devices and objects and 3D models that they wanted to create was the most exciting part. With the success of this early-stage process of co-design and testing, the researchers would like to improve the scale, affordability, and resolution of the pen display. Currently, each pen is rather large, so the display can't show much detail. The researchers would also like to explore alternatives to the software program, which requires some programming skills and is reliant on text-based communication. One option may be a system where users physically adjust the pens, which cause the code to change and match what they formed. You're listening to Tech Tips on the North Carolina Reading Service. There's going to come a time that you are going to need an interpreter to help understand someone speaking a different language. There are plenty of apps available, but Google is perfecting theirs. Google Assistant now has interpreter mode on Android and iOS devices. And this article comes to us courtesy of our friends over at Cool Blind Tech. Google has announced an interpreter mode for smartphones. The real-time translation tool is now coming to Assistant for Android and iOS with a new Smart Replies capability. Like on smart home devices and Assistant headphones, you can launch interpreter mode by saying, "Hey Google, be my French translator," or "Hey Google, help me speak Portuguese." Assistant slides up a sheet and you can start speaking. You'll then see and hear a translated conversation on your phone. After each translation, the assistant may present smart replies, giving you suggestions that let you quickly respond without speaking, which can make a conversation faster and more seamless. Your input appears at the top of the screen and the translated output below. A carousel of smart replies is underneath, so the person you're communicating with can quickly tap on a chip. The other person can otherwise hit the blue microphone to verbally respond. There are also options to copy the translation and have it repeated. In addition to auto, you can switch to manual or keyboard input at the bottom of the interpreter mode. Typing is useful for quiet environments, while the former allows for control over and when assistant starts listening to each participant. In total, interpreter mode supports 44 languages. On iPhones, this functionality is also found in the dedicated Google Translate client. However, Google touts the integration as removing the need to download another app. Here's a promotional piece Google rolled out touting the new interpreter mode.
Good evening, how may I assist you?
你好, 这边有什么赌场或是餐馆我可以去吗?
Oh, I apologize. Okay, Google, Chinese interpreter.
Ready when you are.
Hey, it's Shannon with The Verge, and we're here to check out Google Assistant's new interpreter mode, which can translate 27 languages in real time. This could be a real game changer for concierges or anyone who wants to speak to somebody else who doesn't share the same language, if it works. Luckily, we're here at the concierge desk, so let's check it out.
Okay, let's start.
How may I assist you?
我如何可以协助你呢?
你好,我想找这边的赌场或餐馆。
Hello, I want to find the flow field in restaurant here.
Restaurant?
餐厅。
没错,我想要找这边的餐馆。
5月12日。
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
我想找这边的餐馆,想要吃点食物。
I want to find a restaurant here to eat some food.
What type of cuisine would you like to have?
I
want to eat Western food with steak. I am a little allergic to sand.
We have a lot of great options here on property. What time would you like?
Oh, 谢谢.
Thank you.
Great, you are confirmed.
So we just tried out the Google Assistant interpreter mode. It works pretty well. You do have to pause a lot to wait for the translation to happen. So if you partially understand the other language, you can't just interrupt somebody in the middle and say, hey, I do know what you're saying. Let me just keep talking, because then the translation is interrupted. It doesn't work.
How may I assist you?
我想找这边的赌场。
Let me do that again.
I forgot to pause.
Okay.
And it actually works pretty well. At one point, I thought I was allergic to sand and not shrimp, which might be problematic for tourists coming by. But for the most part, it's pretty fluid. I would say the translation has been pretty good. The new interpreter mode will be piloting today at hotel concierge desks in New York, San Francisco, and here in Las Vegas.
Assistant interpreter mode has already rolled out to Android and iOS around the world, so check it out for yourself. You're listening to Tech Tips on the North Carolina Reading Service. Butler University researchers are working on a way to help blind and low-vision students get around campus, both inside and out. This article is entitled, New App Helps Blind, Visually Impaired Students, and Visitors Navigate. This article comes to us courtesy of our friends at Cool Blind Tech. Led by computer science and software engineering professor Panos Linos, a team of undergraduate software developers at Butler University are creating a digital guide for the blind and visually impaired. Inspired by its four-legged predecessors, GuideDog 2.0 will be a mobile prototype application available in time for fall 2020 classes. The app will work on any smartphone. Initial coding started in fall 2018, and Linos says the students will have enough of GuideDog 2.0 complete to present at conferences next semester. The app will vocally tell users the best route to take from class to class or the cafeteria to Starbucks in Atherton Union. Custom digital mapping installed in the software, combined with GPS location, will serve as guidance, but with features that stretch beyond Google Maps. They are all eager to push the envelope, he says. Throughout this project, it wasn't just about finding the answers, but also finding the questions. We are really figuring out what it means to have people differently abled than us. These students are all here because of their willingness to learn, to explore, and to communicate. GuideDog 1.0 was developed by Linos and other students for the Indiana School for the Blind and Visually Impaired in 2015. Blind students at the school were assisted by navigation instructions to get around, but they weren't getting the detailed directions once outside the classroom and on their own. GuideDog helped them get from classroom to classroom as it gave directions step by step. Linos and his students had to develop a completely different user experience than typical apps they developed in class. They also had to factor the cadence of the app's vocalizations with voice-to-text and text-to-voice development, while eliminating as many touches as possible. They can hear and prefer much faster speech for their apps, Linos says. We had to speed up the voice for the app. For GuideDog 1.0, Linos had his students wear blindfolds in early meetings. Everybody was wearing them while holding their phones, Lino says. That experience reminds us of who the actual user will be. We had ideas that would work for you and me, but not for someone who is differently able. Would a blind student be able to use this? A major key to GuideDog 2.0 will be the data collection by Lino's students. They are in the process of gathering the latitude and longitude of every door on Butler's campus, every classroom, every entrance to Atherton Union, every bathroom. The data will be entered into a database that GuideDog 2.0 will pull from via Microsoft's Azure Cloud. A pre-existing database of every room at Butler that contains technology was also utilized, courtesy of Butler Information Technology. Bluetooth-activated, weatherproof sensors were purchased and will be placed at construction sites and other hazardous areas on campus. The sensors work as beacons to trigger GuideDog 2.0 and are designed to blend in with walls and doorways. It's an interesting challenge, says Ryan Graham, senior studying computer science on the GuideDog 2.0 team, to try to make it so users can understand where buttons are very efficiently and effectively without seeing them. It can't be clunky with a billion buttons on the front. It has to be minimal but extremely functional. GuideDog 2.0 must be nimble and able to change with a growing campus. In just the last year, the new building for the Andre B. Lacy School of Business and the expansion and renovation of the sciences buildings were added to the maps. I think Butler is really big on inclusivity, and this is just another step in becoming more inclusive, says Gabby Forsyth, a software engineering senior developing the web interface of the app so everyone can get around campus. Michelle Anderson, director of the Office of Student Disability Services, concurs that GuideDog 2.0 will only improve a campus that has received favorable accessibility feedback, even at active construction sites. She says, I had many conversations with the project managers for the Sciences Complex construction to ensure the color contrast, font, and size of detour signage so that it was accessible to people with vision impairments as well as those with mobility impairments. Raising disability awareness is a mission of SDS. Overall, we have a community that is committed to welcoming people with disabilities, Anderson said. The students presented their progress on the GuideDog 2.0 at the October 25th College of Liberal Arts and Sciences Dean's Advisory Committee meeting and were met with enthusiastic, positive feedback. The project was given a $500 donation from committee chair Michael Swarzman, 74, and his wife Barbara Greer on the spot. You can't help but respect the innovation a project like that demands, Swarzman said. It is an obvious commitment for the professor and the students. Expanding on the need of inclusivity and diversity is applaudable, and the broader application to it is exactly what my family wants to support. We've run out of time for today's episode of Tech Tips. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Chris Skidmore, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Tech Tips is readily available as a podcast following this broadcast by visiting our website at www.ncreadingservice.org. If you have any questions or comments, you can give us a call. Our number is 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And as always, thank you for listening to Tech Tips.